Today is the Second Chronicles Day. Okay. Abba, in Bible journey, are you with me? Second Chronicles. Last Sunday we started First Chronicles. Today, Second Chronicles. Let us read first chapter 1, whole verses, chapter 1, verse 1 to 17, and two key verses, chapter 7, verse 14, chapter 16, verse 9. Okay. Second Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 1. Let us read alternatively. Solomon, son of David, established himself firmly over his kingdom, for the Lord his God was with him and made him exceedingly great. And Solomon and the whole assembly went to the high place at Gibeon, for God's tent of meeting was there, which Moses the Lord's servant had made in the desert. But the bronze altar that Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made was in Gibeon, in front of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Solomon and the assembly inquired of him there. Then night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, riches, or honor, nor the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king." Then Solomon went to Jerusalem from the high place of Gibeon, from before the tents of meeting, and he reigned over Israel. The king made silver and gold as common in Jerusalem as stones, and cedar as plentiful as sycamore fig trees in the foothills. They imported a chariot from Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and the horse for 150. They also exported them to all the kings of Hittites and of the Arameans. 7, 14, 16, 9, continually, let us together. if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, they ask. For I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their hand. For the eyes of the Lord reigns throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done foolish things. From now on, you will be at war. Amen. This is the word of God. May God bless all of us with his powerful and living words. As we studied last Sunday, 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles are originally one book in Hebrew Old Testament. Let us have a review of what we studied last Sunday. In 1 Chronicles, first part from chapters 1 to 9, only genealogy, names, more than 900 persons' name, genealogy from Adam to David, the royal line of David, and then second part from chapters 10 to 29 is whole David's story. Then today we are to study 2 Chronicles. Because the 1 and 2 Chronicles are one book in original Hebrew Bible, 2 Chronicles is just a continuation of 1 Chronicles. It means 2 Chronicles begins where 1 Chronicles ends, starting with the accounts of the rule of King Solomon until his death, after recording the revolts of the northern tribes led by Jeroboam against Rehoboam. And King Solomon's son and successor. And then the account confines itself to the history of the southern kingdom of Judah until the fall of Jerusalem in BC 586. Then we can say 2 Chronicles parallels 1 and 2 Kings. 2 Chronicles and 1 and 2 Kings cover same period of history of Israel's monarchy from Solomon's reign up to the fall of Jerusalem in BC 586. So you can say first Kings and Second Kings, also originally First Kings and Second Kings, one book, we remember. First Kings and Second Kings, two kings, and 2 Chronicles, both of them were same cover, same periods, same material, same history, same place, same location. And what is the difference between both 1 and 2 Kings, previous two books, and 2 Chronicles? Same material, same history, same period, same time, same location. Then difference is just perspective, standpoint, and interpretation. 1 and 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles are difference in perspective, viewpoint, and spiritual interpretation. Last Sunday we saw some of them, but let us see one more time in detail. First and Second Kings from prophetic perspective, and Second Chronicles is from priestly perspective. First and Second Kings, two kings, political history, and Second Chronicles is religious history. Two kings, was fighting battles prominence. Then Second Chronicles is worship and temple prominence. Two Kings, First and Second Kings, Two Kings is a record of Solomon, and after division of Israel, two kingdom story, Northern Kingdom, Southern Kingdom story, going together in mixed. But Second Chronicles is the record of Solomon and only Southern Kingdom story. No more Northern Kingdom story in Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles deliberately ignores and omits the story of Northern Kingdom because of their false worship and the refusal to recognize the temple in Jerusalem. Two Kings, First and Second Kings, were continuing history of a nation. Then Second Chronicles is a continuity of David's line. Two Kings relate, shows the history of Israel from the standpoint of Babylonian captivity in BC 586. But Second Chronicles presents, relates the history of Jews from the post-exile of standpoints of those who have returned from captivity to the land of promise, Jerusalem. And Two Kings focused on human's failure, human's wickedness, human's sinfulness, human's unrighteousness. But Second Chronicles focused on God's mercy, God's faithfulness, God's grace. Two Kings reveals and shows how human is. But Second Chronicles shows, reveals how God is, what God is like. How about in the matter of author? The author of Two Kings is unknown, uncertain, but several evidence shows that Prophet Jeremiah wrote Two Kings. Prophet Jeremiah works in Judah at the last time of Southern Kingdom Judah. Also, Second Chronicles author is uncertain. We do not know clearly, but several evidence show that Ezra, the priest and the scribe, he was educated scribe. Ezra wrote Second Chronicles. Then Two Kings was written before and after Babylonian captivity. But Two Chronicles was written between 450 and 430 BC. Another difference between Two Kings and Second Chronicles, Two Kings, especially Second Kings, closes with the fall of Jerusalem, destruction of Jerusalem and temple, destruction of temple. But Second Chronicles closes with the fall of Jerusalem, destruction of temple, plus the prophecy of Jeremiah that they will return from captivity to the Jerusalem after how many years? After 70 years. This is the difference between Two Kings and Second Chronicles. Okay, let us see the survey of Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles, this book repeatedly teaches whenever God's people forsakes God, God withdraws his blessings. But trust in obedience to God brings blessing, prosperity, and victory. since everything in Second Chronicles is related to temple, it is not surprising that this book closes with Cyrus. You know, Cyrus is the king of Persia. Cyrus' edict to rebuild that temple. Also, just like First Chronicles, Second Chronicles, with a chapter, how many chapters are there in Second Chronicles? 36. Second Chronicles with 36 chapters may be divided into two parts. First part is from chapters 1 to 9. First part is from chapters 1 to 9. This is the Solomon story. The reign of Solomon. Yes, we read in chapter 1, the reign of Solomon brings in Israel's golden age of peace, rest, wealth, also temple worship. Solomon's wisdom, his knowledge, his wealth, his palace, his house, his personal house, palace, his palace, his temple, raise Israel to her zenith, highest point. At the time of Solomon, the nation was united, and its boundaries extend to its greatest point. Solomon's mighty spiritual, political, economic, architectural feats, accomplishments became legendary. Also, Second Chronicles theme is temple. Also, in the story of Chronicles, not only First Chronicles, Second Chronicles, one of very, very important themes is temple. Also, we are in temple. Is that true? Temple. Last Sunday, we saw in First Chronicles, David, Solomon's father, David had strong zeal, strong enthusiasm to build a temple. Remember? But he was not allowed by God because he shed much blood. He was a fighter, warrior. But Solomon gathers, collected, prepared everything as much as he could, as well as he could, for his son Solomon to build a temple easily. Then in Second Chronicles, from chapter 1 to 9 is a story of Solomon. Okay, remember? How many chapters are given to the story of Solomon in 2 Chronicles? 9 chapters. First 9 chapters from 1 to 9 is the story of Solomon. Then, out of 9 chapters of the story of Solomon, 6 chapters are given to the story of what? Story of temple, construction. It's construction and dedication. In 2 Chronicles, first 9 chapters are given to the story of Solomon, and out of 9 chapters of the story of Solomon, 6 chapters relate the construction and dedication and prayer in temple about temple. This is the first part in 2 Chronicles. And second part is from chapters 10 to last, chapter 36. Israel's glory, unfortunately, unhappily, Israel's glory is short-lived. Not long period, very short, only in time of David and Solomon. Soon, very soon after the death of Solomon, the nation Israel was divided, split, and two kingdoms became two kingdoms, northern kingdom, southern kingdom. And both kingdoms bring downward spiral that could only be delayed by the religious reforms. But the nation also, after the death of Solomon in 2 Chronicles, no more record of northern kingdom, only southern kingdom. Even southern kingdom generally forsakes the temple and the worship of God. And soon, torn, separated within themselves by warfare and unrest. Yes, sometimes the reformation efforts on the part of some good Judah kings were strong and brave and valiant, but never lasted beyond one generation. Let us see brief survey of each kings. Okay, let us have a review in the study of Northern Kingdom. In the Northern Kingdom, how many kings? 19. Through how many dynasties? Nine dynasties. In the study of Northern Kingdom, they had 19 kings through nine dynasties, then all of them totally evil, wicked. Do you remember we read the repeated same sentence? He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. 22 times we read same sentence. Do you remember? Then Southern Kingdom, how many kings? Okay. Southern Kingdom, 20 kings through one dynasty. How many generations? 17 generations. Let me show you later. Okay. In survey of Southern Kingdom, remember 20 kings through one dynasty, 17 generations. 17 generations means not all of them, father, son. 17, not 20 generations, only 17 generations. In Northern Kingdom, all of them were evil, wicked, sinful in the eyes of God. But in the Southern Kingdom, some of them good, right. Out of 20 kings, 12 kings were totally evil, wicked, bad in the eyes of God. Then eight kings started well in the eyes of God. But some of them changed, some of them right in his young age, but became bad or evil in his old age. So we can see every individual king has his own evaluation before God, not before man. How about your evaluation? Not before man, but before God. Also, we will receive someday, maybe soon, our final, ultimate evaluation before God. That is, God's evaluation is final, ultimate, everlasting evaluation. Would you open your Bible? Okay, let us see a brief survey all of kings. How many kings? 20. Are you ready? Okay. 2 Chronicles. From chapter 1 to 9 is the story of whom? Solomon. After division between Northern Kingdom, Southern Kingdom, who is the first king in Southern Kingdom? Rehoboam. Okay, thank you. Okay, chapter Let us start with chapter 10 up to chapter 9, was story of Solomon. First King Rehoboam. Okay. Let us read individual evaluation from God for each king. First King Rehoboam. Okay. Chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. Okay. Let us read. This is evaluation from God to Rehoboam. First King of Southern Kingdom. Chapter 12, 1, let us read. After Rehoboam's position as king was established and he had become strong, he and all Israel with him abandoned the law of the Lord. Also, Rehoboam, evil king before God. Second king, Abijah. We can see Abijah in chapter 13, but his evaluation is clear in First Kings. Shall you go to? Okay, keep this page with your fingers, okay? And then go to First Kings 15:3. First Kings 15:3. Second King Abijah. Abijah. Which is, see? Abijah. First Kings 15:3. First Kings 15:3. Okay, read together. Abijah. He committed all the sins his father had done before him. His father was Rehoboam. His heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, his God, as the heart of David, his forefather, had done. Also, second King Abijah was evil, wicked, sinful before God. Okay. Let us return to our original page, original book, Second Chronicles. Third King. Asa. We can see him, Asa, chapter 14, Asa. Asa, king of Judah, Asa's reform. Third King Asa. He started as good king, but later he changed. He could not be good totally from first to last. First part good, but his last part, he failed to trust in God when threatened by northern kingdom. Anyway, he was good first time, Asa. Chapter 14:2. Okay, together, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God. But later he failed to trust in God when he was threatened by northern kingdom. Okay. Fourth king, Jehoshaphat. We can see him, chapter 17. Jehoshaphat is one of the best kings in Southern Kingdom. If we are to ask to say two best kings in Southern Kingdom, we can say who are two best kings in Southern Kingdom? Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah, southern kingdom, southern kings, okay. Jehoshaphat. In chapter 17, in chapter 17, verse 3-4. 3-4. Ready, go. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because in his early years he walked in the ways his father David had followed. He did not consult the Baals, but sought the God of his father and followed his commands, rather than the practices of Israel. Israel means northern kingdom. Okay. He reformed, repaired, Jehoshaphat repaired and restored the temple and worship of God in temple. Okay. Fifth king. Who is the fifth king? Let's go. Fifth king. Fifth king, Jehoram. Jehoram. If you see carefully, we can see good king takes long pages. Bad king takes short pages. Fifth king, Jehoram. In chapter 21, Jehoram. Jehoram is a good king, bad king. Very, very bad king. Jehoram, especially, you know, when Jehoram died, nobody was sad. Nobody cried when Jehoram died. Especially Jehoram, we remember Jehoram married whom? Athaliah, in northern kingdom, Jezebel's daughter. Jezebel was worse than the king. Then Jezebel's daughter was married to Jehoram, okay, Athaliah. Okay. Chapter 21, verse 6. So Jehoram was one of the worst kings in southern kingdom. Fifth king, okay, read together. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, northern kingdom, as the house of Ahab had done. For he married a daughter of Ahab, Athaliah. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Okay. When he died, nobody cried. How, when you died, how many will cry? Okay, six kings. Jehoram's son, Ahaziah. Chapter 22, verse 3. Let us read together. He, too, walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother encouraged him in doing wrong. Who is his mother? Athaliah. Okay. Seventh king, his mother, Athaliah. Actually, she was not king, just a dictator. That's why even though 20 kings, not 20 generations, because of her and also because of something in later parts. She is a ruler or a dictator, not original king from David's genealogy. Chapter 22, verse 10. Okay, let us read. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to destroy the whole royal family of the house of Judah. Can you imagine how wicked, sinful, evil she was? You know, when her son Ahaziah died, she tried to kill all her children to become queen, king. Is it possible? She killed all her children to become queen, to sit on the throne. But even though she tried to kill all family of David, there was one youngest son, her aunt, hid and raised him. He is ninth king, Joash. Okay. Ninth. Shall we go to chapter 24, verse 2, Joash. Joash, whose son is Joash? Ahaziah. Okay, let us read his evaluation. Chapter 24, verse 2. Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years of Jehoiada the priest. Joash became a king when he was 6 or 7 years old. In his youth time, he was good. He was a right king. You know, we can see in this verse, the priest Jehoiada anointed Joash as king. Until Jehoiada's death, Joash was good king. But after priest Jehoiada died, who anointed him, he became evil. And he returned to idolatry. So he was good in his youth age, but he was evil in his old age. Okay. Ninth king, chapter 25, his name is Amaziah. Also, Amaziah, in his youth age, he was good before God, but he changed. In his old age, he became evil, Amaziah. Chapter 25, verse 2. Okay. Actually, Amaziah was mixed in his relationship to God. Good, bad, mixed, Amaziah. Okay. Chapter 25, verse 2. Read together. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. Not wholeheartedly means mixed. Maybe some of us can be mixed. Sometimes we are good before God. Sometimes we can be bad before God. Tenth king, chapter 26. Who is tenth? Chapter 26. Uzziah. Also, Uzziah began very well with God at his first reign. So he was blessed with military powers, but when he becomes strong, he became proud. So finally, he was struck with leprosy, and he lived as a leprous until his death. leprosy, you know, leprosy. Leper. He died as a leper because of his pride. But he began very well in his first time, Uzziah. Chapter 26, verse 4. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. Okay, 11th king. Chapter 27. Who is 11th? Jotham. Okay, memorize all 20 kings up to next Sunday, okay? There'll be reward. 27 verse 2. Jotham. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Uzziah had done. But unlike him, he did not enter the temple of the Lord. The people, however, continued their corrupt practices. 12th king. Next chapter. Chapter 28. 12th king. Ahaz. Also bad. Chapter 28, verse 2. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, northern kingdom, and also made cast idols for worshiping the Baals. Yes, 13 kings. Hezekiah, one of the best kings in southern kingdom. But also Hezekiah not perfect. In the middle of his reign, he became proud, but immediately he repented. He returned to God, Hezekiah. Chapter 29, verse 3. Chapter 29, verse 2, Hezekiah. Read, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. Yes. And 14th king, Hezekiah's son. Who is he? Chapter 23. Manasseh. You know, ironically, interestingly, Hezekiah is one of the best kings in southern kingdom. Then immediately his son Manasseh was the most wicked king in the southern kingdom. How long he reigned? Longest period. 55 years. Remember? 55 years, Manasseh. Chapter 33, verse 2. Chapter 33, verse 2. Manasseh, 14th king. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. It is very strange. Hezekiah is best king in southern kingdom, but his immediate son, Manasseh, was the worst king in southern kingdom. He reigned the longest period, 55 years. Also his son, 15th, chapter 33. Chapter 33, second part, last part. Manasseh's son, Amon. Also, he was very evil, just like his father, Manasseh. Let us read chapter 33, verse 22. Amon. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. Amon worshipped and offered sacrifices to all the idols Manasseh had made. Sixteenth king, Amon's son, Josiah. Josiah was a good king. Josiah was the last good king in southern kingdom's history. Okay. Chapter 34, verse 2. Josiah was the last good king in southern kingdom's history. 34, verse 2. Read, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. How many kings in southern kingdom? 20. Then the last four kings, all of them wicked. That's why Jerusalem was destroyed, exiled to Babylon. 17th king, Jehoahaz. He reigned only 3 months. 3 months, very short time. So there is no evaluation in this book. We can see his evaluation in 2 Kings chapter 23. Shall we see briefly? Okay. Keep our original page with your fingers. And 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 42. 2 Kings, verse 23, verse 32. Jehoahaz. Okay. Shall read? Jehoahaz. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, just as his fathers had done. Dethroned by the king of Egypt. Okay. Let us return to our original page. Next king, Jehoiakim. Also, he was evil. Chapter 36, verse 5. Okay, read. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 11 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, his God. Okay. 19th king, Jehoiakim. Also, he reigned only 3 months. Chapter 36, verse 9. Okay. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months and 10 days. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Okay. Last king, Zedekiah, 20th king, Zedekiah. Chapter 36, verse 12. Okay. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, his God, and did not humble himself before Jeremiah, the prophet who spoke the words of the Lord. Okay. And then southern kingdom was destroyed, exiled to Babylon. 20 kings. And I said, how many dynasty? One dynasty. How many generations? 17. Why not 20 generations among 20 kings? First, Athaliah. And then, shall you see last part? Let me say quickly. Last part, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20 kings. Jehoahaz, 17th king, Jehoahaz, and 18th king, Jehoiakim, and the last king, Zedekiah. These three kings are the sons of Josiah. Remember? Understand? That's why not 20 generations, but only 17 generations. Yes. From the story of 2 Chronicles, what can we learn? Very much. Yes, the throne of David has been destroyed, but the line of David remains. You know, the murders, killing, battles, treachery, captivity, all threaten the line of Messianic coming in this world. But the Messianic line remains clear, unbroken. The fulfillments in Christ can be seen very clearly in the genealogies of Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3. Also, the theme of 2 Chronicles is temple. Shall we say together? Temple. I'm temple. All stories focused on temple, the worship of God. Temple is a symbol of the presence of God. Temple is a symbol of approaching to God. And temple is the house of prayer for all nations' salvation. Then temple prefigures Christ. We need to say temple is a type and pattern and shadow of Christ. Yes, temple is the shadow of the presence of God. But Jesus Christ is the reality of the presence of God. Temple is a shadow to approach to God. But Jesus Christ is reality approach to God. That's why Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to Father except through me. Temple is the shadow of the house of prayer for all nations' salvation. But true salvation can be found only in Jesus Christ. Yes, now is the Christmas season. What is Christmas season? Jesus coming. Savior comes in this world to save us. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save all sinners. Jesus himself says, pointing himself, one greater than the temple is here. I. You know, in John chapter 2, Jesus said to those who made the temple dirty, destroy this temple. I will raise it in 3 days. The temple he had spoken of was his body. Then when he raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Jesus himself is the image. Jesus himself is the image of the invisible God. He is the mystery of God. He is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus himself is the exact presentation of God's being. He is original God. He is a very nature God. He is a true God, one and only Son. That's why Bible says to see Jesus is to see God. To believe in Jesus is to believe in God. To reject Jesus is to reject God. All things we are doing toward Jesus is accepted by God as doing towards God. Then Jesus is the reality of the temple. And then if we believe in Jesus Christ, if we truly accept Jesus Christ, it means Jesus is in me. Jesus is in you. Is that true? That's why the Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16 encourage us, challenge us, remind us, don't you know that? Don't you know that you yourselves are temple of the Holy Spirit? If anyone destroys a temple, God will destroy him, because God's temple is holy and sacred. Remember, you yourselves are that temple of the Holy Spirit. Also repeat once again, same book, 1 Corinthians 6:19-12. Don't you know that? Do you know that you yourself is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, you are bought at a very, very expensive price, priceless price. Therefore, honor God with your body. We are walking temple today because the Holy Spirit is living in us. Shall we confess, shall we proclaim before God, before the world, before Satan, I am the temple. I am a temple. Walking temple. Living temple. Because the Holy Spirit is living in you and me. Amen. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for our being in your house. We are in your house. We are in your temple. But basically, truly and spiritually, originally, our Lord Jesus is the reality of the temple, because he is the presence of God. As Emmanuel God, we remember Jesus' promise, unspeakable promise, I am with you always, all the time, to the very end of this age. Emmanuel God, because he is the presence of God. He is reality of true temple. Father God, we believe salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name given to us under heaven by which we must be saved. That name is our Lord, our Savior, our King, Jesus Christ. All glory, all honor, back to our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.